Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another opportunity to share your word today. Thank you for this offering, and Lord, bless it wherever it goes. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message today is Another Year of Grace. The Lord has given us another year of grace. So I'm going to ask you to do something today. Might be a little bit of a game. Between 1 and 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being terrible, horrible, and 10 being great, I want you to pick a number that would describe this past year. Pick a number that describes this past year. Now, you only need one number, and you can't change it halfway through. Whatever number you pick, you got to stick with. And then I want you to compare it with your spouse. See how you did. Compare it with your mate, your spouse. For those of you whose spouses aren't here, do the same thing with your spouse when you get home. Ask your spouse, this past year, how would you rate this past year on a scale of 1 to 10? See what they come up with. See if you can both hit the same number. Because we'll be dealing with that number pretty much through the message. We'll be dealing with these numbers that you've chosen. This is not an original. This is not something I came up with. I borrowed this message, so I can't receive any credit. You have your Bibles turned to Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. I thought it was really interesting and very good, and I thought you'd also like to share that. So think of that number. Either write it down or keep it in your mind. Now, the children can get involved in this, too. The children can also get involved with that. Think of a number. And then on your way home today, compare your number with what your parents had. And maybe then you can share why you thought this, you picked this number, okay? Why you picked the number that you picked between 1 and 10. All right. Anybody have anything to share before we start? Last Sunday, 2019. Anybody have anything you want to share? Okay. Let's get on with the message then. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to share your precious and holy word. Prepare our hearts to receive that which you'd want us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Another year of grace is a good way to title this. Another year has gone, and we are on the brink of another year. 2020, can you imagine? So what kind of year was 2019 for you? Where would you place it on the scale? Have you come up with a number? Did you think of one? Good. Y'all got the number? Okay, keep it. I want you spouses to compare it, see how close you came. Maybe you'd give 2019 an 8 or a 9 out of 10. In other words, it was really a good year. It was a good year because maybe you had great success in your business. Maybe you had a good year at work or at school. You've had good family relationships. Maybe you even found some new friendships. 2019 was a year that included a lot of things. Maybe for you, some exciting things, some new challenges. Maybe you got a lot done this year. Wow. No, didn't work that way at my place. I still have the same stuff I needed to do last year. I don't know about you, but I made the remark to my wife, this is the fastest year I think I've ever witnessed. I remember mother telling me, as you get older, you'll see how fast they go. I thought she, you know. What does she know? Oh, wow. If she was here, I'd tell her, you were right, Mom. You were really right. And the older I get, the faster they go. It's amazing how fast they go. Maybe you'd rate this past year 8 out of 10 compared to the previous year, which The author says it was a horrible year. I don't know that I could actually say any year was horrible. That's a tough term. I'd say I've had difficult years, really difficult. I don't know that I would say they were horrible. As Christians, we know that anything that we consider to be bad or horrible, God makes good come out of it. That's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. God can make good come out of it. Maybe you'd give 2019 a 5. To you, it was just another year. Pretty much the same as the other year. Nothing very much exciting happened. In fact, it was kind of dull and dreary. Just getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, and then doing the same thing the next day, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Sound familiar? For you, maybe that's the kind of year you had. I'm getting to your year. Hang on. I'm getting to the number you pick. Maybe 2019 deserves only 2 out of 10. It was really a dreadful year. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. The year included tragedy, sickness, loss of friends, marriage problems. Maybe it was the year of their greatest marriage argument. Maybe the kids were just impossible. You experienced death in your family. How would you rate this year, this past year? I want you to think back, and I want you to think of what kind of person you were during 2019. Do you have some regrets of this past year? You're not here by mistake or choice or circumstance. You know, you're here today because God wants to speak to you. And he's speaking to you right now. If you were able to have some part of the year over again, how would you have behaved differently? Would you have shown more understanding? Cared more? Would you have been more patient? Would have you been less critical? Would you have been more supportive and helpful? I can tell you, as I reflect on the year, this year past, there's certainly things that I wish I could have done differently. How about your relationship with the Lord? Did that flourish and grow in 2019? Or did it just hover pretty much the same place as it did the year before? Or maybe it even went backwards. Did you pray less this year? Did you hear less from God through his word this year? Did you worship less? Maybe God didn't even have a big part in your life in this past year. Maybe somehow he just slipped into the background last year. So, could you ask yourself this question? How much did my life reflect the fact that I am God's child? In this past year, did you speak as a child of God, or did you say some things you probably shouldn't have said? You know, once you say those nasty things, it's hard to go back and fix it. Once they're out of your mouth, it's hard to go back and fix it. Words can do a lot of damage. And depending on what was said to you, you'll find that that nasty word that your spouse said to you is played over and over, like a recorder. You keep thinking of that nasty word. How could he say such a thing to me? How could she said such a thing to me? That was terrible. Could you, would you, you spoke differently? Did you speak as a child of God? Did I act with the love of God in my heart? Did I interact with others with that same love and forgiveness that Jesus has shown me? Ooh. That's how we're supposed to forgive one another, as Jesus forgave me. Did he forgive you of things in your life? He sure did. And you should be as forgiving as he. You need to learn to forgive one another as Jesus forgave you. So here we stand, all of us, on the threshold of another year. And Jesus speaks a parable. It's not a long parable. In fact, it's very brief. But I think the point is very clear in this parable. We don't hear much spoken in this parable. I hear a lot of stuff spoken in other parables, but not this one. This one is unique. Listen, Jesus said. A man has a fig tree and he plants it in his vineyard. And apparently it was common for fruit trees to be planted among the vines. 3 years later, he's making his way up and down his vineyard. And he's looking forward to the taste of a ripe fig. But he sees that the fig tree still doesn't have any fruit. So he calls to his gardener, "Hey, come over here. Why is this tree still here? It's taking up soil, moisture, and space. Cut it down right now." Ooh. Jesus got it right. Why should that tree remain standing? Why should it keep up taking space, using up the goodness of the soil, if it's serving no purpose? What's the point of having a tree that should bear fruit but does nothing? Maybe you've had a tree in your garden that was a big disappointment to you. And you've dug it out, roots and all. You ever have that happen? You ever have something that wasn't doing anything and dug it up? It was dead. Wasn't producing fruit, wasn't producing flowers, it was just there. So you dug it up, got rid of it. To you, it was another weed. You've done it. Cut it down right now. Stick a match to it. He spoke that in another parable. The owner has a right to be disappointed and angry at the useless tree. It's certainly no wonder he wants it destroyed. But as we listen to Jesus' story, we know that Jesus isn't talking about a fig tree, but he's talking about you and me. So, that brings us to ask ourselves this question. Am I bearing fruit? I keep sucking up the nutrients of the soil in which I've been planted. When am I going to show some kind of fruit to match the years that I've been standing in God's garden and all those opportunities that I have been given? Did you use any of those opportunities God gave you to share his love to somebody who needed to hear about Jesus' forgiveness? Did you take the opportunity this past year to do that? Or was you too involved in your own personal needs? So Jesus continues, "Leave it alone for one more year." The gardener pleads, "I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If it doesn't, then we'll cut it down. I'll give the fig tree one more year. You have another year. Another chance to do what you should be doing for the Lord." So Jesus ends the story of the fig tree. And he leaves his listeners to ponder the generosity, the patience, and the grace of the gardener. And so they're struck by the words of the gardener when he says, leave it alone. And the word that was used here by Jesus means forgive. Isn't that significant? Leave it alone has to do with forgiveness. So now they know that Jesus wasn't simply telling a story about a fig tree, but he was talking about God and the way he forgives. The way he forgives us, even though we don't deserve such generosity and kindness. God has given us some wonderful soil for growth. When I'm referring to the soil for growth, I'm talking about right here in Snyder County where we live. This is the soil we've been planted in. Would you rather live somewhere else? You know, the more I ponder it, the more I believe that I'm right where I want to be. I'm happy where I'm at. When I hear about all the things going on in other places, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, I think we have it pretty good right here where we're at. He's given us wonderful soil for growth. In Colossians chapter 2, we're told, you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following him. Plant your roots in Christ and let him be the foundation for your life. Be strong in your faith, just as you were taught, and be grateful. And so as God's people, we're to build our lives on Jesus Christ. Our very existence, our day-to-day living, even our breathing, every breathing moment has its source in Jesus. We occupy valuable space in the garden. And the soil is rich. And our roots are there. And the owner of the garden is looking for fruit. He wants to see the kind of fruit that he would expect to see from someone who has been made new, holy, through the blood of the Lamb. From someone who has been given a new life by the living Christ. Are you that someone? Are you living that new life in Christ? So 2019 now draws to a close. And he sees what has happened in the past year. He has seen how our relationships haven't always been what they could have been. Oh, yes. He's heard your arguments. The inability to be generous when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation. The lack of gratitude to your parents, young men and ladies. To the parents, the disrespect for your children. The disconnection between you and the church. The many things that God offers through his church is here for the taking, for the involvement. Yes, he's seen it all unfold. 2019, perhaps, much to our embarrassment, he has forgiven it all. We've heard his words every Sunday. Your sins are forgiven. We've been assured that each time we've come to the Lord's Supper, we've been assured of that. We've drawn on those riches, and still there's someone we haven't forgiven. Still, there is that relationship that remains fractured. No words are spoken between you and the person with whom you had fallen out. Still, the anger wells up whenever you think of that person or hear his or her name. Why is that? Have you not learned to forgive as the Lord forgave you? What magnificent love God shows us. He certainly must think we're something special. What love that he takes me and adopts me and calls me his child. That love of God is so precious to us, and especially when we've cried out in despair and pain and need that assurance that everything will be all right. How many times has someone cried out for some love, but we've been so busy enjoying that love ourselves that we haven't heard the cry? Have there been times when you really felt down? Really alone? Have you spent restless nights in your bed and the morning has brought no relief? Someone has helped us. Maybe a telephone call. Maybe a letter. A word. An arm around our shoulders. And we were uplifted. Perhaps a sermon, or maybe a devotional. One of the devotionals in our devotional books spoke to you. Maybe a hymn spoke to you, or maybe a song, and has assured us and has given us hope. How death sometimes we become to the loneliness and confusion and despair that's all around us. Give the tree one more year. That's what the gardener in the vineyard said. The owner wanted to chop it down, but the gardener's not going to give up. He's going to dig around it. He's going to turn over the soil. He's going to add some nutrients, fertilizer, show it some TLC. You know what that means? Tender loving care. The gardener wants to give it another chance. Isn't that typical of the Holy Spirit? The gardener wants to give you another chance. The soil may be browned and baked hard, but the Holy Spirit's going to send some rain. There's going to be a change, and the gardener is determined that he's going to see it through. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for never giving up on me. Listen to what Jesus tells us in John chapter 15 and 5. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. We need to be connected to Jesus. He's the one who will help us to be what we ought to be. We need him to help our branches bear fruit. Without him, we will rate each year that passes below a 5 on the 1 to 10 scale. Every day, we're inclined to break the fellowship that God has with us, to turn our back on the way that he wants us to be as his children. We are much like the fig tree that fails to produce good fruit. But thank God for the patience and grace of the gardener. One more year. Jesus gives himself for us. He becomes our nutrients for us. He's rejected and laughed at and crucified as a criminal on the cross. Nails and thorn spikes, a spear is dug into him. He waters the ground with his own blood. He does everything, we do nothing. We simply trust in his grace. In Christ, we are made beautiful and fruitful gardens. He digs around so that the love of God pours out of us, begins to work in us, and we become lovely people through Jesus. And with this kind of help, we begin to accept others as he was able to accept others as well as us. And so the parable of the fig tree makes it quite clear that we have been perhaps unfruitful, unfaithful. In spite of it all, God has been what? Very faithful. Sunday school lesson. Jesus waits for us. He has a spade in hand, a wheelbarrow by his side. He's ready to bring us into 2020. And that's a promise. He's armed with that promise. We can step forward into the new year ready to let him do the work in us. That only he can do. Thanks to him for his goodness in giving you and giving us one more year of grace. Wow. Hallelujah. You can go back and get the little ones and you can have them come back into the service. Now at this time, we'll take your prayer requests.